I want to speak to you this afternoon about what I've entitled a topic called the Ministry of Encouragement. Ministry of Encouragement. How many here have ever needed encouragement? Okay. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just wait. You just wait. Your time will come. Your time will come. Hallelujah. We all need encouragement. I think of one time when I came in to the house of the Lord. This was before I was a pastor. I was a young adult, just trying to live for God, just trying to make my way and trying to figure the Christian walk out, this Christian life out. And I had come to this church, and I remember I was so frustrated because I felt this tug inside. I felt the Lord drawing me, calling me. But in my heart, there was also resistance because what God was asking me to do, he was asking me to surrender a particular relationship in my life, to lay it down. And I, at that particular point in time, didn't want to do that. So there was a battle going on, and I was so discouraged, and I was feeling so heavy and burdened. But yet in my heart, I wanted to do God's will. I wanted to do what he was asking me to do. And so finally, I finally came into the house of God. I heard the message that was preached. I came to the altar. And when I came to the altar, after the prayer was prayed, I yielded to God. I surrendered to him. By the time the altar call was dismissed, I was still standing at the altar. Everybody was heading back to their seats. And I was still feeling this weight on me, this weight on me and this heaviness on me. And so I didn't want to leave the altar right away. And I'll never forget it. One of the pastors that was here on staff at the time, he came over and he just leaned over the platform. And all he did was extend his hands toward me. And when he did, I looked up into his face, and his face was glowing. And all he did was shake my hand and say, "God bless you." And I have got to tell you, at that particular moment, that heaviness broke over me and lifted, hallelujah, and I was able to go back to my seat and worship in freedom and in joy and having yielded to God. And I'll never forget that moment. I remember another time, and at this particular time, now I'm a pastor here at Times Square Church. So it's many years later, and I've come into the house of God, and again, I feel this burden, this oppression, but it's not because of anything I'm doing. I'm just feeling this incredible weight on me, and I come into the house, I walk backstage, and I'm standing backstage, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? You know, Lord, what is this? What is happening here? Why is this happening? Why is this? I don't even remember if at the time, if I was about to lead worship, or I don't remember what was going on, but I do remember this. One of our choir members, she was a soprano, she came walking backstage, and normally what our choir members do, they come backstage, they go downstairs to the prayer room, and they get ready for the service. Then they come up on the platform. And she was in our adult choir, and I never forget it. I was standing back there. She came walking backstage and basically just was heading downstairs, and she saw me. And again, this girl, she just lifted her eyes. She looked at me. I looked at her. Our eyes met, and she said, "God bless you, Pastor. God bless you," and shook my hand and went downstairs. Unbeknownst to her, all of a sudden, this oppression was broken by just that word. I mean, it was broken instantly, just lifted, and I was able to come on the platform and just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I like to call that a Holy Ghost handshake. A Holy Ghost anointed handshake. Hallelujah. When someone is just anointed by God, living for the Lord, they become an agent of God's freedom, life, love, liberty, hallelujah, to bring freedom to others, to bless others, to encourage others. And that's, in fact, what she did. And she had no idea what happened, but that's what happened at that particular moment. I would to God that we would all be an encouragement to those that we meet on a daily basis. Wherever we find ourselves, whether it's on the job or at home or in the classroom or in our daily commute or here in the house of God or on the phone talking to another brother or sister or maybe a particular person that needs that at that moment. especially in a time when there is so much bad news and negative and evil influences around us. Not to mention the constant barrage of the enemy against our minds as he tries to discourage us from believing God's word. A constant barrage, day in and day out. The scriptures talk about how the enemy came and began to tempt Jesus in the wilderness as he was led of the Spirit. And he's going through this time. And then the scripture says at the Lord, after he had resisted, after he had yielded to God, after he had agreed with the word of God and claimed the word of God and put his trust and confidence in God's word, the scripture says the enemy left him but for another opportune season. And see, there are seasons when we feel discouraged, seasons when we feel oppressed, seasons when the enemy will come and attack us and berate us and bombard our minds and try and discourage us and tell us that we're not who God says we are, or the Lord is not who he says he is. Are you with me? That constant barrage, calling into question who God says he is and about and what God says about himself and what he says about you and I. That's why this ministry of encouragement is so vital in the body of Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul begins to speak about it in Ephesians chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. He says here, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. The King James puts it this way. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace unto the hearers. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in the city of Ephesus, but it was also written for our instruction as well. What's the scene? Well, Paul the Apostle is in prison for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is in an extremely difficult place. It's a hard place, a trying time, yet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he manages to pen these words, this letter to the church. Like New York City, Ephesus was a major city of its day in Asia, close to water. It was the center of much commerce and banking and had so many things that the people came from far to worship and indulge in, just like New York City. And so Paul begins to give practical instructions to the believers there concerning their duties as a redemptive, as a people that are redeemed by Christ. As part of his teaching, he begins to talk about living a life of purity. He talks about putting away the old. He talks about putting away the old life and putting on the new life. He begins to paint this contrast between the old life and the new life. And you see that here in verse 17, starting with verse 17. He said, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life of God, the life that God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, the new life, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. So here's the contrast. He begins to paint this contrast back and forth between the old life and the new life. He says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. So stop telling lies. Tell your neighbors the truth. For we are all part of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, he says. But get over it quickly. Get over it quickly. For anger gives a foothold to the enemy. If you are a thief, stop stealing. Quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to those in need, to others in need. And then here is our text. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Hallelujah. To those who hear them. So you see this contrast back and forth. The old life, the new life. The old life, the new life. But how is that possible? You and I can't do that in our own strength, right? We can't take off this old life and put on this new life. But he gives us the key here. Right in verse 23. He says, it's God the Holy Spirit. It's by God, the Holy Spirit. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. In other words, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to God Most High. Acknowledge your need of him. Acknowledge that without him, you can do nothing. But claim his promise that in him, you can do all things as he strengthens you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without him, we can do nothing. Romans 12, 2 puts it this way. You don't need to turn there. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you. Somebody say, let God. Let God. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Folks, it's Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Hallelujah. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside working on the outside. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The scriptures tell us he is faithful who calls us and he will do it. Faithful is he who calls us and he will do it. He will do it. It's on this premise that the Apostle Paul says, do not use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. As a result of what God does in your life and minds, as we yield to him, this will be the end result as we yield to him. So it's not you and I doing it, but it's Christ living this life through us on a daily basis. As we acknowledge our need of him. Remember what he said to Paul? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's why Paul said, therefore, I will gladly glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I will gladly acknowledge daily, Jesus, I need you. I can't make it without you. I give my life to you and I ask that you would live this life through me to the glory of your name. Hallelujah. Do not use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now the word corrupt here in the King James, for it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No foul or abusive language. The word corrupt means rotten. Listen to this. It means rotten, putrefied. It's like a body that smells, that should have been buried, but it's above the surface and it smells. That's the picture that's painted here. Of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless, reproachful. The word corrupt means reproachful, worthless, reproachful. In other words, whatever has the tendency to injure the name, fame, or interest of another. I thought that was incredibly interesting. Communication that has a tendency to injure the name, fame, or interest of another. Wow. The word communication here is the word logos, which means something said, speech. It speaks of speech, words, by implication. A topic or matter that is under discussion, that is being discussed. Also reasoning or motive. Computation, which means the way you calculate or consider things in your discussion. And it also is the word that is used for the essential word of God, in other words, Christ, where it speaks of Jesus as the word of God, the word logos. Corrupt communication, the words we say, the topics or matter we discuss, the matters we discuss. It speaks of our reasonings, our motives. Are they corrupt? Are they corrupt? Paul's not writing to unbelievers here. He's writing to believers. He's writing to the church. He's writing to a people that are redeemed. And he's saying, folks, if you've given your life to Christ, there's going to be a change. And so I want to encourage you. Don't let this go unchecked, but yield yourself to God and let him glorify his name through you. The words we say, the topics or matters we discuss, our reasoning and motives, are they corrupt or are they good and helpful? Are they good and helpful? Colossians 3:8 says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, words of anger, rage, malicious behavior, things that are done maliciously, slander, dirty language. Slander, dirty language. Slander, dirty language. Slander, dirty language. Say amen or say ouch. Someone's honest. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what the King James says. Minister grace unto the hearers. That which is good to the use of edifying. The word edify or edification is the act of building up. Building up. Metaphorically, it's the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. The King James uses the term use of edifying, which literally means edifying in respect of the need. Edifying in respect of that need, the current present need, according as the occasion and present needs of the hearers require. Even words good in themselves, folks, listen to this. Even words good in themselves must be introduced seasonably, in season, lest they prove to injure instead of be useful. A word in season, a word spoken in season. Sometimes we can say something and it may sound right to us, but it may not necessarily be what's needed for that moment. You know, sometimes to be an encouragement to somebody, you don't even have to say a word at times. I remember one time I met a brother on the street. We had done the Christmas volunteer banquet downtown. It was at one of the hotels downtown before we had this space here. And I remember I was just walking down the street and I saw a Christian brother and I just gave him a smile and I shook his hand and I kept going. And later on, he found me some weeks later, he found me and he mentioned to me, you don't realize, but that handshake, that smile you gave me ministered to me. And I thought to myself, my goodness, I'm just trying to live for Christ. I'm just asking the Lord, Lord, would you use me to bless somebody? That's been my prayer. Use me for your glory. And here it is. I'm just walking around and I shake this brother's hand. I don't know what he's going through, but the Lord used it. It's the same way the Lord used others to encourage my heart. He used me to encourage somebody else. But there have been other times where, folks, I've said things that the Lord has told me, you shouldn't have said that. And he would tell me, you go call that person and you tell him you're sorry. And I've had to do that at times as well. I remember one time I called this sister and I remember when I got on the phone and I hadn't seen her in years and the Lord told me, you call her. And I had to search, I had to do some research to get her number, and I called her And I remember when I called her, she was shocked to hear my voice. And I said, you might not know who this is, but I'm such and such a person. And the Lord told me that I needed to call you and to apologize. And I didn't even know I had offended her. But the Lord knew. The Holy Spirit knew. See? And so I called her. And by the time I was done, I mean, she was crying on the phone. And she told me, you do not know what this phone call has done for me. And folks, this is years later. So for years, she was carrying a wound that I inflicted unknowingly. Unknowingly. And I thought to myself, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Our words should be good, helpful, beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Do you know when you slander somebody, when you talk bad about someone to someone else, you're not only afflicting, you're not only messing that person's reputation up, but you're actually poisoning the person you're talking to. You're hurting that person. Our words should be good and helpful, beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. They should also be fitting to the need and the occasion, timely, a word in season. A word in season. The King James, again, the King James says that our words should minister grace. Grace to the hearers. Hallelujah. Minister grace to the hearers. What does that mean? You know, I began to think about that and began to look it up. You know, when you minister grace to people, it's one of the greatest encouragements that you can give them, that you can share with them. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when you remind them of what God thinks of them. When you begin to remind people of what God thinks of them. When you remind them of how his grace has been bestowed upon them. How he loves them, how he cares for them, how he's promised to finish the good work he's begun in them. And if they're not a Christian, how he's promised to save and deliver them out of whatever their present circumstances, and to change them and to make them into all he created them to be. Ministering grace unto the hearers. Ministering God's favor, reminding folks that God's favor is on your life, that the Lord loves you. He's with you and he's going to do an incredible work with you. The best is yet to come in your life. So be encouraged. Hallelujah. Folks, there is such power in a spoken word. Such power in a spoken word. James 3:5 puts it this way, 5 through 11. You don't need to turn there. It says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongue, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. This is James writing to the church. There's such power in the spoken word. Such power in the spoken word. God spoke and everything that was created came into being. Think of the words of a parent, a guardian, or teacher, coach, scoutmaster, peer, friend, employee, etc., and the influence they have. I think of a story that my wife read concerning a Florida mom who decided to change her technique in parenting. Listen to this. In order to curb her children's behavior, a Florida mom decided to try a different approach. She praised her two children for what they did right and refrained from pointing out what they did wrong. She admitted it wasn't easy. Your first impulse, she says, is to really keep complaining, keep yelling, or just criticizing in general. She said she couldn't have anticipated the reactions of her children, an 11-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter. They started actually behaving even better, she said. She realized that the more that she acknowledged them for doing well, the more they seemed to want more of that praise. Instead of all the anger or the disappointment that they get from you whenever they're misbehaving, she said. After 2 months of making a conscious effort at positive reinforcement, all I can say is that it really does work. Heartfelt words and a simple smile work wonders. Now, my kids seem to compete against each other to do more great things and make me happy. It's quite funny, too. They actually want to help me and feel proud when I call them out in front of their friends and family, giving them praise. She makes me feel proud of myself, her daughter said. Amazing. Folks, amazing. This is what positive reinforcement does. How much more fruit can come from a word in season as we live and walk in the Spirit of the living God? Hallelujah. How much more impact can a work of the Spirit have in the life of someone when we speak a word of encouragement, a word in season? Hallelujah. A word of encouragement, a word in season. We have the power of speech, the power in speech to build or tear down. The Lord told Jeremiah that he would be given a word that would tear down and uproot as well as build and plant. The Lord told Moses, I want you to encourage Joshua in Deuteronomy 1:38. I want you to encourage him. Folks, God will use you and I to encourage one another. He uses us to encourage one another. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:2 to 4 says, knowledge flows like springs of water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets dripping nonsense. I'm reading from the Message. God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. That's what it says. 1 Peter 3:10-12 says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what to do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace and for all your worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. In other words, when you and I pray, when we ask the Lord to change us, he makes us into this type of person. A person that is fit for the master's use. A person that he can use to encourage others. Praise the living God. Believers are to learn new patterns of speech to be encouragement to others. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 4 and verse 12. The Bible says that he, the Lord, is my glory and the lifter of my head. Right? He's my glory and the lifter of my head. He ministers his grace to me. Then I in turn minister his grace to others. He said, freely you've received it, freely give it, right? Freely give it. The Bible says that we are his body. The Lord can speak to you directly, but sometimes he chooses to minister to us through one another. He chooses to encourage us through one another, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Hallelujah. The Lord told Moses, encourage Joshua. Encourage him. I think of a testimony that Pastor Carter shared with me this past week. We were in Colorado for the Expect Conference. And I had the privilege of sharing with youth leaders, youth pastors, and senior pastors what God is doing here among the young people in SYP. And I first started telling the pastors, listen, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do anything. I just want to tell you that we prayed and asked God for his mind, and this is what the Lord did. I'm here to just testify to you of God's goodness, God's greatness, what he's able to do. And I began to share and showed them a video of our choir and the youth ministry, and they all began to applaud, and we began to give praise to God for what he was doing. But as I was fellowshipping and spending some time with Pastor Carter, he began to share this testimony with me. He said years ago when he was a new Christian, he said he was going through a time of great discouragement because he felt like he had no victory in his life at the time. And he was a young Christian. He said, but a dear old saint of God one day came up to him and told him, son, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. He said immediately, he said the discouragement just lifted off of him, lifted off of him. And today he still remembers that encounter. He still remembers that encounter. And we began to talk about this very subject. And he told me, you need to talk about this on Sunday. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm under authority. Wow. The power of a spoken word, a word of encouragement. The ministry of encouragement strengthens the weary, feeds the hungry, gives a cup of cold water to the thirsty, stirs up faith, hallelujah, and causes us to see things in the light of God's word. Would you give him praise? How many of you want to be used of God in this generation? How many of you want to be used to minister to others, to encourage others in the faith? That should be all of us, because this letter was written for all of us. The words we speak, folks. Can I encourage you today to yield to the Holy Spirit and to ask him to use you for his glory, to minister encouragement, especially in this hour, with such bad news all around us. So many people hanging their heads. I think of the stats that tell us 30% of college students consider suicide. 30% of college students. Unreal. That means if you see three college students walking on the street, the chances are that one of them has contemplated suicide. And the others might be totally clueless, may have no idea. When I think of all the bullying that takes place in our schools, and even on our jobs, you know how one person is made fun of? Everybody begins to make fun of one person. You imagine if you were used of God to come to their defense and to encourage them, what that could do for them. I'm done. I'm going to invite us all to stand. Let's all stand. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to pray for one another today. We're going to believe God to do something in each of our lives. I want you to break up into groups of threes and fours. Go ahead and do that right now. Turn around, break up into groups of threes and fours, and we're going to pray for one another. I want you to pray for God's blessing for that person on your left and right. And we're all going to lift our voices together. We're going to lift our voices together in the name of the Lord. If you're not comfortable holding hands, that's okay. But let's all lift our voices and begin to pray. Praise you, Jesus. Let's begin to give him thanks now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for this great church. I thank you that we are your body. I pray that you would make us ministers of encouragement, that we would be able to speak a word in season to one another. I pray for a greater sensitivity to the leading of your Holy Spirit than we've ever known, Lord, so that we would not only be able to minister and encourage one another here in this house, but that we would be able to minister to family members, co-workers, classmates, neighbors, all those that we come in contact with on the street. We thank you for it. We believe you for it. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Hallelujah.